Everyone has a story. Everyone travels a road. Some of those roads are paved, some are gravel, some are a combination. Some are superhighways. Some of us have met with sharp turns, intersections, and delays. We travel at different speeds to different destinations. On this podcast, we talk about your road to now. Welcome to Your Road to Now. Today, I sit down with Julie Michaud.
Yes.
I got that right?
You got that right, Jim.
Awesome. That's great that you showed, that you came and sat down with me on the couch here, or the chairs, I guess, in front of this epic view of Kelowna. We're looking
gorgeous.
Out over Kelowna here from the Landmark District, and it's just an amazing view. We can't see too far because of the snow, but...
The clouds cover well, but it's beautiful, it's outstanding, and it expands your mind. It's a perfect place for that.
Why don't you share a little bit about Julie? Just a little bit about kind of like where you came from, where you're born, and how you ended up here in Kelowna.
Okay, so I'll do the short version, unless you have lots of time.
I'll probably dig in somewhere.
Exactly. I was born in a small town north of Quebec, actually, Sept-Îles. It translates as Seven Islands. It's very beautiful. It's kind of the Hawaii of Quebec, of course. Much, much cooler. And I spent my youth all the way until I was about 18 years old in Quebec. I had never spoken English before. I grew up in Quebec. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just had this strange...
So north of Quebec City?
North, like way north of Quebec City, like 7 hours north of Quebec City. Yeah. It's a beautiful place if you ever visit the province of Quebec. It's a gem.
I was in Quebec City and I'm blown away with the beauty of that city.
It's culturally insanely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think some people say it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I mean, it's pretty impressive for sure.
I second that. A lot of people ask me why I came out west for that reason. You know, you come from such a beautiful place. And I did live in Quebec for a long time. I always say... The East is about culture. The West is about culture, about nature.
Mm-hmm.
You take
raw.
Your pick.
Yeah.
And so, although I love the cultural background Quebec offered me, having access to nature, the pull was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here I am. But yeah, the pull of the West was really strong. And for me at the time, I just wanted to challenge myself to learn another language. I was one of those, I guess you could say, if I didn't need English, I didn't want to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
So I pushed myself right into it. And I came here, learned English, and then I realized something important. I was always someone very creative. So in Quebec City, I worked in fashion. I studied there a variety of things. I'm a very curious person. But... my curiosity and my creativity did not have structure whatsoever. So one morning I remember thinking I had flown and been in Calgary, but I did not like that city very much. But I was convinced I had to move there. And I did. I just booked a flight and I decided to move to Calgary. And now I know it's exactly what I needed because Calgary is extremely structured. And I moved there in 2005. So that was just before 2008. You know, things were going really well. There was a lot happening. And so I started to work in Calgary for the city of Calgary and then for a private company. But I learned there to take my creativity and line it in a way that could work and create something tangible. And that was invaluable. In 2010, I felt like I had reached the top of what I could do in the corporate realm. And I wanted to start a business. And I also wanted to go where... I would be the happiest, where my heart would thrive. And I had been in Kelowna before and I had promised myself I would come back because I loved Kelowna so much. The impression I was left with was magical, actually.
She's a beautiful city.
It's beautiful. And the culture, the food, fruits, the fresh fruits everywhere. The the need for no clothing in the summertime was very tempting as well. You know, it's beautiful. It's 35 degrees every single day. I was like, gosh, I don't even need to dress. Yeah. I love that place. It was beautiful. So I thought, okay, so of all the places in Canada that I could live, Kelowna is where I want to live. And so I decided to, at the time, it was invest in a business here in Kelowna, on the west side, actually. And I came here because I loved it and I wanted to make a life out of here. Mm-hmm. So that was back in 2010. We're 20 years later. Gosh, we're 10 years later now, 2020. Mm-hmm. And here I am living here with my family. And it's wonderful.
With three beautiful children and one on the way.
One on the way. The third one is on the way.
Oh, the third one.
Third one is on the way.
That's right. I remember because they were here at Christmas.
That's right.
I'm getting ahead of you. Is three enough, though?
I think so.
Three's lots in this day and age, right? I come from a family of seven.
Wow. Well, I have three brothers and a sister, so I also come from a bigger family. Mm-hmm. But for myself, amongst businesses, I have 2 50-pound dogs. Both are rescue dogs. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you have a big family already.
Yeah,
so there you go.
I'm okay. Three, I think, is good.
Because we have three, too. So three is lots, for sure. Three is...
It feels complete to me, though. Yeah. It feels complete. It feels... I'm excited for what's to come with it and the balance, I guess, it creates.
So that defining moment for you, was that in before you got to Calgary or in Calgary, you decided that you were going to run a business?
It was while I was in Calgary when... I guess even when I was younger, I knew that one day I would run my own business. I would lead a business. Like, to me, there was no other option. I always saw myself as a CEO, actually, even at a young age. So
you have tons of charisma.
Well, thank you.
God, it just comes out of you, right?
Thank you. But you know,
you kind of command a room for sure, right?
Thank you.
So that's amazing, right?
I appreciate that. Yeah. It's a So yeah, I always had that in me. This is what I wanted to do. But I guess, what's your question specifically? Sorry.
I guess you were in the corporate world, and it's kind of a safe world, I guess. You know, there's a steady paycheck, and everything's kind of there. And at some point, you decided that you're going to do it yourself.
Safe isn't my forte. And I think it's a trait. If you're someone that requires a big safety net, entrepreneurship may not be for you. I guess for me, it came very naturally. Like, for example, I used to be a paraglider pilot. I have over 100 flights.
Oh, you love the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the adrenaline rush there.
Beautiful. There's tons of story I could go on. Paragliding stories, like being sucked in by a cloud and like things like that.
So have you paraglided here then?
Oh, yeah, of course. On Blue Grouse Mountain over there.
Yeah, I was going to say Blue Grouse because I remember being up there a few times and the paragliders are there.
Yeah, Blue Grouse Mountain in Vernon, there's a few really sweet spots. Vernon, Coldstream. Revelstoke is my favorite place in the world. And I've been in Brazil to fly. It's still Revelstoke is my favorite spot to fly in. It's beautiful.
How long is it, like Blue Grouse, how long does it take to come down?
Well, it depends on a like bad day. And I guess it's a podcast, so you didn't see my hands. But on a bad day for flying, that is, probably like 10 minutes. But if it's a good day, the thing is, what's incredible with flying is you get to see what is not seen by your eyes. And you need to evaluate that. So you need to figure out where the currents are going up, where the currents are going down, the turbulence in the air. So this is not something you see with your eyes, but you have to be able to anticipate and see. And that's what I like the most about it. So a good flight there, you could spend maybe 40 minutes in the air.
So you just kind of find the updrafts.
Find the updrafts, you go back up, and you kind of go around a little bit.
Nice and peaceful, probably a great place to be creative.
Oh, it's beautiful. I feel, though, it's more like a mid-station because when you're up there, you cannot think of anything else. That would be dangerous, actually. Like, you're constantly driving, adjusting, seeing what's happening. You fly with the birds. That's also very special. You look at the birds, and you almost kind of wink at each other. The birds will tell you where the air goes up. And you're like, okay, I got you. I'm coming right there.
I'm coming.
Yeah.
So what's inspiring you right now? Like, what's driving you? What's that fuel, the energy for you?
The fuel is the impact we can have on our culture by doing what we do every single day, we have a major impact on our culture, on how people think, consume. And to me, there's nothing greater than that. It fuels me, it gets me up in the morning, and it allows me to continue even when there are challenges and when everything goes wrong, because everything goes wrong sometimes. And knowing that we're truly creating a difference in how people view and consume is everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're very driven with that. You got a lot of passion for that, for sure. So how did you connect with that, with what you do in your business and that? And how did you find that that's the way you're going to use that as your outlet to make change?
So since I was young, I've always enjoyed, like many girls, I guess, enjoyed dabbling in makeup, dabbling mm-hmm. in skincare. I would create my homemade mask back then. So beauty was always, or the ritual that comes with beauty, it wasn't beauty by itself. For those who know me, you'll know, like, I'm not someone who wears a lot of makeup or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But of all the things, that's something I say sometimes, because it's so impactful. I almost used the F word, and mm-hmm. I did not. How many people do you know that don't shower at least regularly? Most of them shower. Most people shower every mm-hmm. day, or very close to that anyway. And now tell me a woman that you know that don't regularly apply cream. Mm-hmm. That even the lowest maintenance people will tell you, well, I wash my face and I put a moisturizer, mm-hmm. you know, even mm-hmm. if that's it. And then I would say that easily 90% of the women I know apply makeup almost every day as well.
Mm-hmm.
What other industry, like retail, I'm talking of retail and goods that you can sell, what other industry is something that you consume every single day on a regular basis? By focusing on the beauty industry, I get to talk to thousands of women
mm-hmm.
continually, and I get to influence how they feel about themselves, how they view, how they consume beauty, but more than that, how they consume in general. It doesn't stop there. When you start pressing the buttons about consciousness, like conscious consumerism, mm-hmm. it doesn't stop to the one thing that you're buying. It expands to so many different areas in your life. And using beauty as a conductor for all of it is outstanding, because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to create this massive impact to help people think different on so many levels, you do something that's super fun and that makes you feel super good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of great things packed.
So you have a big vision. You've shared that with me once before, and I'm not sure if you want to share it now, but you have a big vision, which is amazing, and it's great.
Yeah.
Do you want to share some of that vision, or?
The vision for Porchella,
or for Julie, even, like, how for does Julie see, where's Julie go? Like Porchella, I understand you want it to be way bigger and cause more impact and change a lot of patterns and behaviors.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, how does Julie fit into that whole picture?
Well, Julie is the conductor, you know. I find, so it all goes with how each of us has a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big proponent, or a big believer, that each of us has a gift. And the worst thing you can do for yourself and the world is to keep that gift all for yourself.
I agree. That's amazing.
Like, don't do that. Nice. That's so egotistical. You know, and quite often we don't share our gift because we are scared. We're mm-hmm. scared in so many ways. We get self-conscious and this and that.
Vulnerable too. You put yourself out there.
Right. But think right outside of this. This is the mm-hmm. most egotistical thing you can do, is to keep it all for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And do yourself a favor and try. Don't be scared of that rejection. Don't be scared of the judgment, because at the end of the day, you're the only person in the world that will judge you. Seriously, nobody cares mm-hmm. about you, in a sense. Yes, some people care about you, but nobody cares about you as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of time you spend thinking on yourself, nobody else does that towards you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so get right out there and share your gift. But you were talking about my vision. And it really is that impact how people think and view. It's bring consciousness into every single of our actions. It's all about uncovering the power that we have as human. I feel that for many generations, we've been taught through the education system to how the government is set up even, to tame ourselves over and over. And, you know, since we're tiny little babies, we're thought, like, don't do that. This is scary. This is risky. You know, be careful. These are the things that we hear over and over and over. And when we're thought on most subjects, we're also thought, this is it. This is how it is. Now you can say that way. But stepping out of this and rewire the brain, basically, to get people to think on their feet, to think clearly, to be courageous, to be themselves, to uncover their power, has unlimited potential for where we can go as a society.
So did Julie, as a 14-year-old, have this much confidence and this much voice, or did it come to you?
It's interesting. I think at 14 years old, I had more. And then I crashed.
So you had passion then, right from early on, you wanted to make a difference.
Yes. Oh, yes. It was like I was always very vocal, very strong with that. But interestingly, it crashed at some point in my life. So at like 14, yes. Like I was.
Life tries to kick you down or shut you up, I guess. Right?
Learning English was one day.
Oh, I bet. Right?
It was hard because all of a sudden I was trying to talk. And I could see people thought I was this cute, not so smart person. Mm-hmm. And that's
misjudged you,
right? But when you learn a new language, like all of a sudden you become, I guess, the last. You can't express yourself. And when one of your tool, you know, you're like, you can say God or the universe, however you want to call it. But there's a few cards that you're given. It's like a poker game. You're handed a few cards. Which one are yours? It's important to recognize which one are yours or play with your deck accordingly. But, you know, I felt that communication was one of my cards. I could talk and express myself, and all of a sudden it was removed from me. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to communicate with others. I didn't know how to have an impact on others. So, like, for a while...
Did you want to go home?
Interestingly, no. Hmm. I just wanted to push through it for some reason. I there was enough reason to keep me out west. Like I wanted it really bad.
Because some people would have given up and gone home to where they were comfortable.
Yeah, no, not me.
Awesome. So you pushed through.
I pushed through. That's it.
And
that's
found your voice again.
Found my voice again. But even now, it does happen to me where I wish... I was more fluid. I wish I would find the words I'm really looking for right away.
Oh, I think it just adds character to what you're saying. I think the accent is amazing.
Thank you.
I think it really just, it kind of like really kind of completes you in my view, right? So
thank you. Yeah. I think by now it's stuck there anyway, so better appreciate it.
My mom worked it. She had that Hungarian accent forever. it worked for her. And I think that it's, I think you shouldn't try to get rid of it or change it. I think it's you.
Thank you. I'm comfortable with it now. Yeah. I think it's the evolution of it.
I think it's the rest of us are jealous of it.
I fake it, actually. I was born and raised right here. That's right.
You're doing a hell of a job.
Thank you.
Stay with it.
Exactly.
So any advice that you would go back, you know, to the 20-year-old you then?
Yeah.
What would you say to 20-year-old Julie?
Get used to rejection and embrace it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Use that as fuel.
But it's important when you're rejected, it's not like you become completely insensitive to it. You have to embrace it for what it is. It's hard to be rejected and it can hurt, but just deal with it. Okay, I'm hurting right now. Not cool. I'm hurt. Give yourself 3 minutes. 3 hours, 3 days, depending on how big it is, and then move on.
Kind of like the Walter Bond, and when we had Level Up there, you said, have yourself a pity party. 3 days for a pity party.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Get up and let's get busy, right?
That's right. And that's the thing, you have to commit to it, absolutely. And, you know, get used to, it sounds funny, but eat rejection for breakfast if you must. Because there will always be someone with an opinion that's exactly opposite to yours. And if that's going to stop you, like, you're not going to go places, right? Mm-hmm. But what about all the other ones that can support that? And what about your own evolution? Again, give yourself and the rest of the world the gift of you.
Mm-hmm. And embrace rejection. How can Kelowna do better for young entrepreneurs like yourself? How can Kelowna support, you know, people that are out there, you know, taking chances and trying to change the world, to the way we buy stuff, the way that we consume?
I would say, like right now you're asking, I didn't think of it at all before. I would say embrace variety, as in don't stick. So, for example, you have a group of friends, and because Kelowna is such a small town, it's mid-size, I guess, but it's easy to get with the same people. And then what happens is with the same people comes the same way of thinking. It comes with the same kind of habits. And I would say challenge yourself to switch that around every now and again. I'm not saying ditch your friend entirely. What I'm saying is include variety.
Mm-hmm. Expand, connect
mm-hmm. with people you would have never thought a connection would be possible. Connect with people who are completely different from you. Mm-hmm. Expand your mind, expand the variety of the activities even you do, and see what happens then.
I think even our connection when we met online, yeah. I think it was, right? Through LinkedIn, I think the connection was. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that was a great thing. It was just I can't even remember who connected with who, but I mean, it's great. And I think it's been about a year now, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, close to it.
Oh, yeah. That goes fast, isn't it?
Time goes fast. That's right.
Met
we don't
yesterday.
Want to go too fast, though, right?
Yeah.
So the business climate in Kelowna, though, for you?
It's great. Yeah. It's great because there's a lot of people here who are conscious and want to do better.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great kind of place in that regard. I think we're kind of supportive, and I think support local to me is a big thing.
And it's huge.
I think because the Amazons and the Googles and the Facebooks won't buy jerseys for your children's hockey teams.
That's right.
And stuff like that. So we have to kind of recognize that they just take money out of market. They don't put anything back into market. And I'm not saying that they're terrible organizations, but we definitely need to support the people in the community so that we can build a vibrant community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as simple as feed your children before you feed like everyone else around, mm-hmm. right? Like it wouldn't make sense to have your own family hungry.
Yeah, and I think it comes to being, you know, socially and financially responsible to the community. And I think that's something that I think we can all learn to be a little bit better at, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So any thoughts on what you would do if you were mayor for the day? What would you... What are the things Julie would work on?
Change everything.
Start over.
Exactly.
No roads.
Oh, my God. Exactly. We'll all be in flying cars.
That's right.
You know, anytime I think that, no matter your opinion on your political opinions, the level of work and the amount of things to consider in order to be a good mayor, it's huge. And I do not know that I would do a better job, really. Of course, I have my ideas, and there's a lot of things that I would like to change and contribute to help. You know, the homeless problem is one of them. Housing, the way the town is developed. But then again, all I can say is I would do my best. I would mm-hmm. do my best to serve a community, to grow it, and to make sure that it's sustainable in every single way, monetarily, environmentally, and that the people are empowered to thrive. But to think that this is not the mayor's thought mm-hmm. would be, I think, small-minded of me.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be raising three children in this community.
Yeah.
What is important to you for the children? Like, what do you want for them?
Freedom of choices. The ability for them to access nature, to access urban center. The freedom of choice, the ability to think through to navigate through the city, and I feel that Kelowna has enough options for that.
We got a big playground, that's for sure, right?
Oh, yes, we do, but it's incredible. Like, my daughter spent, the one that's in school, she spends an entire day outside every single week with school, mm-hmm. plus other times, of course, but it's invaluable, and to mm-hmm. have that option is incredible.
Are there some core values for Julie? Is there something that grounds you when you're making tough decisions? Is there something you go back to that's kind of like inside you?
Yeah, tough question. I feel like there is so many, but truly, I think the what always comes back is, does it make sense not only for me but for those around me? Mm-hmm. Like, is it sustainable? Does it contribute to elevate the consciousness of mm-hmm. all?
Yeah, that seems to be what grounds you for sure.
Yeah, very much
social,
so
social consciousness.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, so how do you see the future then? Like, what do you see for the future? What do you see, and what do you hope to see? I guess those are two different questions in a way, right? So 10 years, 20 years out, what do you hope to see, and what do you see?
Evolution in technology that will allow us for more of a connection with Earth. That's what I see for the future. Mm-hmm. It's almost, imagine complete, you know, sci-fi movie mixed with the hippiest movie you've ever seen, mashed together. Mm-hmm. That's my ideal future. Mm-hmm. So a good mashup of this, because I do believe as human we're intrinsically connected to Earth, and when you lack that connection, there's a lot of thing that goes wrong in your mind. Mm-hmm. So that connection to me is super important, and technology to enable, I guess, the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Pair with that would be amazing.
So what's Julie's day? If Julie, not taking away the responsibility of the children and your husband Stavros and that, but what's if Julie has a day off,
yeah,
and she could do anything she wants,
yeah,
in Kelowna, yeah, where does Julie start with breakfast, and what does she do? Does she start working out? What does she do?
Okay, when I have a day
you'll
off.
You get a lot of those, I bet.
Yes. I spend a great, like, I eat a lot for my breakfast, lots of different foods, and I will take my family, the dogs included, and go in the woods. Mm. Yeah.
An experience. Is there a favorite hike in Kelowna?
I like all the hikes because they're so close by, mm-hmm. and it's... You know, if I only have an hour, I can take an hour and go. But yeah, like the Clifton area is a great place.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful and it's easy to access. So again, like, I take all my family there and we go into the woods, we walk, we think, we process things. And quite often, if I have a mind block of any sort, if I'm trying to figure out an issue and it seems there's no options, a walk in the woods will give me the answer.
A guilty pleasure? Do you have one?
Of course not. I don't feel guilty.
No big double-fudged chocolate cake.
You know? Oh, I love those. I love those. Interestingly, I don't feel guilty after that, though. I just indulge in it, and I guess, yeah, I don't know. It's delicious. It's beautiful. I don't do it too often.
Do you have a favorite place to dine in Kelowna?
Bouchon is a place I enjoy going every now and again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a like a favorite kind of activity that you like to do other than the hiking?
Right now, like, I have immense pleasure in working. So mm-hmm. I think that has
it's
to
not
be
like work
sure.
if you like what you do is.
Yeah, but it's interesting. So that's it about entrepreneurship. I find a lot of people talk about the challenges of being an entrepreneur, and I think it's very important to mention the joys of being an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. that, you know, the things in your belly that you feel sometimes when you have an idea and it's just about to burst out, and the excitement that comes with, well, sometimes hard decision, but when it comes to fruition, the feeling mm-hmm. you get, the feeling of creation, that time when time doesn't matter anymore, you can stay up for days mm-hmm. and all you can think of is that creation, and that's mm-hmm. beautiful. So mm-hmm. the joy of work, you know, it's I like to work.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people say to me all the time. Jim, you work too hard. I'm like, well, I don't think I'm working at all.
Exactly. What do you mean?
Define work. What are you talking about? Because lots of people think of work as something you have to do. And I think success comes from being able to do stuff you want to do as opposed to stuff you have to do. And it has nothing to do with the money scorecard. It has to be the ability, the freedom to do what you want to do.
If you work for money, you'll never get paid enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Never.
There you go.
Yeah.
So do you have any questions you'd like to pose or like to talk to or something you'd like to bring up, like to share?
Not really, because it's so wide. I feel then we can talk for hours about so many different things. Yeah. Give me a focus.
I think that for Kelowna, Kelowna's great, lucky to have you, and I think you're in your husband Stavros and your kids.
Thank you.
I think you bring some great, like, I think Kelowna needs culture too. I think it needs that blend of people that are willing to put themselves out there and bring some culture and passion into what they do. And I think we need entrepreneurs that have like that spirit. And I think that's awesome.
Thank you. We're definitely very excited to give back, to contribute to the community in any way, shape or form, basically using the gifts that we each have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for sharing your road to now, and hopefully we can chat again here.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Day. Thank you so much, Jim. It was a pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye.
If you'd like to be part of this podcast, we'd love to share your story and your road to now.